Welcome back to Comment with me, George Galloway, here on Press TV, still the voice of the voiceless. This is the big conversation. It's the great debate. And tonight we're discussing, indeed debating, the issue of Iraq. Will Ramadan make any difference to what they call ISIL? Mohammed Akbar is on the line from Kabul in Afghanistan. I'm not going to pass up the chance to talk to him. Welcome, Mohammed. Welcome to the show.
Thank you. Thank you. Salaam alaikum once again.
Wa alaikum salam. Go ahead. Nice to hear from you.
I'll make it quick. I'm unable to see Peace TV, but your staff was more than generous to call me and tell me the topic.
Welcome. So You're welcome.
I don't have to watch the TV because it's a widespread topic. I really don't think it would make a difference in the policy of you know, groups like Taliban and ISIS. In trying to reduce attacks as such during Ramadan, because the fact is that these organizations are strangely and in fact supported by, you know, one of the, you know, some of the powerful nations I don't want to name, and we should try to above all understand the fact that who developed and designed Taliban, who developed and designed ISIS, what is the purpose. This is something that has to be focused. And if people think that people in Iraq and Afghanistan are people who love war, that's not the truth, unfortunately. That's not the truth. And it's really strange for me to, for anyone, to see one of the strongest U.S. allies, like Saudi Arabia, Pakistan, recognizing Taliban and groups like ISIS, for example, you know, in the past, as you know, Pakistan and Saudi were supporting these groups. You know, would it look so, you know, is it so stupid that these countries support these kind of groups and the West doesn't tell them anything? This is, you know, hard to believe and it's illogical to understand.
Well, and, I think you can be, you can be certain.
I would like to say, George, yeah. I'm sorry to interrupt you, but one more thing before I forget is the fact that, to make it very quick, I do understand that, you know, Gaddafi and people like Assad are dictators, blah, blah, blah. But they are not, I cannot call them really, you know, extremist Islamists, you know. They are moderate people. They are modern people, modern Muslims, modern Arabs with a secular thought. What the West is doing in supporting these people, if there's a very minor demonstration going on in a country, they go and support it. They fuel it more. And they give arms and money and different kind of strategy, and also, you know, they teach them different kind of things that lead to terrorism and things like that. So what basically is happening in Syria and places like Libya and then elsewhere in the Middle East and Central Asia, I must say, is a chain reaction. They are trying to disrupt those nations that are against the West, in a way. But the fact is that you are destroying secular, modern, Arab and Muslims, unfortunately, and supporting and developing and giving roots to extremism.
Well, that's a very powerful call. A very powerful call.
I did not expect from the Obama administration, unfortunately.
Very powerful call, Mohammed, in Kabul, in Afghanistan. Very glad to hear from you. Please stay in touch with us as the Afghan story itself develops over the course of this year. I was only going to say one thing, that you can be certain of this, that neither Pakistan nor Saudi Arabia has an independent foreign policy, independent of the United States. So whatever they are doing is in one way or another endorsed by the United States of America. Thanks for that call. Let's go to Sweden, from Kabul to Sweden, where Al is on the line. Al, welcome.
Hi, Mr. Galloway. Now, I was thinking for a while that you don't want to take my call because
I'm very happy. I'm very happy to hear from you. Go ahead.
I'm glad this is not the case because I realized it. I'm sorry about my thoughts on that. Okay. Now, I begin with disagreeing with you on that you said nobody has put a name to be a prime minister, because I definitely know that Syed Ammar al-Hakim has put two or three names to the prime minister, especially in these chaotic times. And today I'm against you, especially because that I think that Press TV, Comment, has become a program that praises the people who make speeches about cruelty of ISIL and so on. And I agree on that. This is very important. But I think we definitely go out of the point. Now, what we need is to find a solution, to put the blame on people like you did last week, and to try and find a solution. This is a little bit like the people who blame everything on colonization and don't want to try to advance. I'm sorry if this opinion is really against you and your viewers, but they need to hear that, I think. And our big problem is, of course, al-Maliki, which will be written in history because he made the division easier for everybody who wanted it. And he even asked for U.S. intervention and so on. I mean, he did everything that is shameful to everybody in Iraq. I don't understand why that on your point on the Kurdish that they want to split. I think they will not do that. They will try to benefit from Iraq as much as they can, because maybe you know that they get a lot of advantages that no other country gets it. And if you are not aware of it, I can talk about it. It's especially economical, concerning the taxes, the jobs, the a lot of benefits. For example, when you get any product from Turkey, they have to go through Kurdistan, so-called federal state, and the Iraqi state has to pay for them. But in the end of the fiscal year, we have to pay the aid to Kurdistan, but not vice versa. They don't pay from their income from oil, and so on and so on. There are so many of these examples.
Go on.
Well, if I'm allowed to go on, I thought of the time. Well, of course, we are very angry at the government, especially because Mr. Maliki has agreed only to go out only after meeting with Kerry, because he wants, meaning he wants to secure his chair and what the Americans want, and not the security of people. We have always heard during the two first weeks that Baghdad is safe and Baghdad is safe. What about the other cities? Where are the forces that you are going to send to the other cities? What is the experience? Of course, the Americans have pumped a lot of money into Iraq, probably $41 billion. I know half of it came to Iraq. Where is this half? What does the government do with it? Just not training the people in the right way.
Well, I don't know why you imagine that that I would regard what you've said as some kind of attack on me. Actually, I agree with the implication of many of the things that you have said. You were wrong to correct me, however, on the subject of other names. I said that no other name was put forward at the parliamentary session, and no other name was put forward at the parliamentary session. That's why the quorum disappeared. Now, I have said on this very program that you introduce more than once, twice, three times, that I don't believe that al-Maliki has been a success. I believe that many of his mistakes have led us to this situation. I haven't yet heard the name of anyone better, but maybe one will come forward. I haven't yet heard the name of anyone who doesn't have all the problems that Maliki has and doesn't have actually all the qualities that he has. But I hope that we hear one. Because what is needed, and I've said this three times on Comment, is a real national government, an emergency government in Baghdad, which somehow manages to bring inside the tent all of the sects, all of the currents, all of the trends. Now, maybe Mr. Maliki can achieve that. I have my doubts about that. I also disagree with you about the Kurds. Of course, they have many advantages by remaining within Iraq. But I don't believe that Barzani has announced a referendum for nothing. He is going to have a referendum. He's going to achieve a huge majority for a separate state in Iraq. And his argument will be that Iraq effectively no longer exists. Indeed, Talibani said that yesterday, that Iraq is already partitioned. And so the logic is that we ourselves take ourselves off into an independent state. I'm not suggesting it's going to happen tomorrow or in a month or 6 months. But unless this problem of ISIL can be solved in Iraq, then ineluctably the country is going to fall apart. And that matters to me a very, very great deal. I hope you will accept that. Thanks for your call. And don't think for 1 minute that we don't want critical calls on this program. We absolutely do. And I deal with them as honestly as I possibly can. Let's go back to the comment wall and take an email. Salto in Berlin, Germany. George, hello. What will happen to ISIL militants if Russia gets involved? And what will happen to Chechen parts of Russia if Russia get involved?